John chapter 8 and verse number 12, and one of the title of the message is this: Believe and Continue. Believe and Continue. John chapter 8 here in verse number 12, the Bible says this: Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let's pray. Father, please speak to our hearts now. Help me to say what you would want me to say, and to please use it in our hearts and lives to challenge us, to stir us, to change us for your glory, to be more like Christ, to be faithful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Believe and continue. Believe and continue. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth not only to redeem man from sin, but also to reveal God to man. Jesus greatly expands our understanding of God by using common things like bread and like water and like light to symbolize himself. These things help us to understand the character of our God and what he does for us. Jesus uses the ordinary to speak of the extraordinary. He uses the physical to speak of the spiritual. He uses the temporal to speak of the eternal. He uses the earthly to speak of the heavenly, and he uses the limited to speak of the unlimited. He uses the finite to speak of the infinite. Jesus reveals God to us when he calls himself here the bread of life. When he refers to himself as the bread of life, or the water of life, or as light, and so on. These things help reveal to us who God is and what God's character is like and what he's done for us. We understand that not only is God self-existing and that he is life and he is the creator of life and he's the giver of life, but he's also the one who sustains us. He's also the one who meets every one of our needs. Jesus said this in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. In John 8:12, I am the light of the world. John 10 and verse 9, I am the door. John 10 and verse 11, I am the good shepherd. John 11 and verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John 15 and verse 5, he said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. And all of these statements by the Lord, they were simple things and common things and understandable things, but they helped people to learn who he was. Here in John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Earlier in this chapter, we talked about this morning, Jesus has just exposed the sin of the scribes and the Pharisees, who brought the woman that was guilty of adultery, and they were all pointing their fingers of judgment at her to try to condemn her. And Jesus ended up reminding them that they were all just as guilty of sin as that woman was. And when Jesus stooped down and perhaps began to write on the ground some of their names and some of their sins, they soon scurried out of there. Why? Because the light was turned on. You know why it was that the people began to back up and leave and go back to their homes? Because the light was turned on. Jesus, the light of the world. Light exposes darkness. Light exposes sin, and that's why sometimes we don't like it. That's what happens when the light gets turned on in a dark place that's been dark for a long time. All the mice and all the rats, they start scurrying. They start running off. We had some piles of, what do you call them? We had some piles of patio stones at home in our back for a while, and they were piled up, and they had been taken, some of them had been taken off some dirt and ground and so on. So being there in the dark and being piled up together, there was little, you know, little bugs and little insects and little worms that were there in those things. But what happens when they're turned over? What happens when they're exposed to the light? The bugs they all begin to run. They begin to take off. It's no different in a dark cave. Well, you get a light in a cave and all the bats will begin to fly away when the light shines on them. Light does that. Light exposes our sin. Jesus is called the light of the world. What does he do? He exposes darkness and sin. And some people don't like that. Notice what it said again, verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus Christ is light. And if we're going to follow him, then we're not going to be able to live in sin and enjoy it. We may try to live in sin, but we won't enjoy it. We cannot. If we have the light of Christ, the light of the world in us, we'll no longer want to walk in darkness. Just as the sun is, you know, the sun up there in the sky, maybe you didn't see much of it this morning, but trust me, it's still up there somewhere. And just as the sun is the physical light in our universe, it's the physical light in our world. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the spiritual light of the world. It's the sun that we know that sustains physical life. The things on this planet could not grow like they do. They would not live like they do if not for the sun up in the sky. And it's the Son of God that sustains spiritual life. Without the sun, the physical sun, plants and trees and grass and so on would not grow. Without the Son of God, you'll not be able to grow as a Christian. Without the sun, there would be no life on our planet. We could not survive without the sun. Without the Son of God, you know what? There can be no eternal life. People must come to the light. They must come to Jesus in order to be saved from their sins and in order to have eternal life. One of the biggest issues that the Jews struggled with was understanding and believing that Jesus was truly the Son of God sent down from the Father. It was one of the hardest things that they were in many cases unwilling to accept, that Jesus was sent down from God the Father in heaven. Notice what verse 14 says, John chapter 8 and verse 14. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence, or I know from where I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go, where I came from and where I'm going. Notice Jesus said, I know where I came from. I know where I go. He was sent down to earth by the God of heaven. He was sent down by the Creator. He was sent down by the Heavenly Father. He says, I know where I'm going. I'm going back to return to my Father. And after the death, after the burial, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he did do that. He did ascend. He did go back to heaven. And now the Bible teaches us he's seated at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. I want you to look down to verse number 19. Verse 19, then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. They were not going to know the Father unless they chose to believe in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus always made it clear to people, whether he was speaking to his disciples or whether he was speaking to Jewish leaders, that the only way to go unto God was going to be through himself. There's no way to God, no way to the Father, no way to really know God without believing on the Son, Jesus Christ. Some people claim to know God, but yet they don't believe on Jesus Christ. That's impossible. Jesus said, you will only know my Father if you believe on me, if you believe on Christ. In John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6, many of you would be familiar with these verses. John 14, 1 to 6, it says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Jews were very troubled by the things that Jesus was saying. They either didn't understand it, they didn't believe it, or they didn't like it. They either didn't understand it, didn't believe it, or didn't like it. Notice what it says back in John chapter 8 and verse number 20. John chapter 8 and verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. You know, the only reason why they did not crucify him at that point was because it was not yet God's timing for him to die. That's the only reason it didn't happen. There was people that hated him so much, people that disliked him so much, people that wanted to see him crucified so much because they didn't like his words, they didn't like the things he spoke, they didn't like that he claimed to have come down from God the Father in heaven. They didn't like these things. The only reason he wasn't crucified at this point was because it wasn't time yet. It wasn't time yet. John 8 and verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Jesus was telling them that the day would come soon that he would be gone. And they would no longer see him after his death and burial and resurrection and ascension. And if they did not believe on him, then they would be lost. And they would die in their sins. Notice verse 22. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. They did not understand how he would be gone. They wondered, you know, is he going to kill himself? How is he going to be gone? I don't understand this. But he was planning something far greater than that. Jesus was not was going to give himself a ransom for many. Jesus was going to lay down his life willingly and die on the cross to pay the penalty for their sins. That's why he was speaking of, I'm soon going to be gone. John chapter 8, and notice verse 23. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. Jesus was telling them that the reason why they needed their eyes of understanding to be opened by God. We love to sing the song, right? It's a great song. A song that written by John Newton, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was what? Blind, but now I see. Boy, they needed their eyes of understanding open. They were blind. These religious rulers and leaders and so on, they were all blind to who Jesus really was. And they needed their eyes to be open to faith. They needed their eyes of spiritual understanding to open so that they would believe on him. Notice verse 24, John 8 and verse 24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. They would be lost. And they would die in their sins if they would not believe on Jesus as the Son of God. If they would not believe that he was sent down from the Father. If they would not believe in him as the Messiah and the Savior of the world. Notice verse 25. Then said Jesus unto him, who art thou? They said unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Jesus constantly was declaring who he was. He was constantly telling himself who he was. There shouldn't have been any doubt about it. He had made it plain. I am the Messiah. I am the Savior. I have been sent down from the Father. Go down to verse number 28. John chapter 8 and verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. And that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Jesus even was telling them that after they crucified him, Jenna, listen. After they crucified him, after they lifted him up on the cross to die, then they would realize what they had done. After they had crucified him, after they had killed him, they would understand who he truly was, the Messiah, the Savior. Truly the redemptive work of Christ on the cross of Calvary, his death, burial, and resurrection, makes plain for all who are willing to believe, it makes plain who Jesus is. You cannot just ignore the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You could not have been there, and we can't even contemplate it now. We cannot consider, they could not have seen, you know, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and really be able to deny who he was except if their hearts were hard and cold and unbelieving. Just a heart of faith, just a willingness to believe it, that's all it took. Jesus was and is who he said he was, and he came and did what he said he came to do. He came to die for the lost. He came to give his life a ransom for many. These Jewish scribes that knew the prophetic Psalms. Listen, there are wonderful chapters of the Psalms even that help to point to the Messiah, that help to point to Jesus Christ as the Savior. What they were putting him through and how he would die and all of that. Boy, once they saw it, surely their hearts would be smitten to realize this is who we learned about. This is who we sang about. This is who we were told about and taught about. This is who David wrote to us about. They would have known the Psalms. They would have known Isaiah chapter 53. But they never quite understood them. Maybe now they would come to understand their meaning after they lifted up and crucified Christ at Calvary. The book of Acts records for us how many in Jerusalem did believe afterwards. Just like Jesus predicted here in John 8:28. Many did believe. After the crucifixion and resurrection, they would then realize that he truly was who he said he was. Go down to verse 30 and 31. John chapter 8 and verse 30 and 31. As he spake these words, what does it say? Many believed on him. Thank you. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. Let's read those two verses together. Would you do that with me? John chapter 8, verse 30 and 31. Let's read them out loud together. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. I told you the title of the message would be this: Believe and Continue. Believe and Continue. There were some that believed the words that Jesus spoke that day, but Jesus said that they must continue in his word to truly be his disciples. It is faith alone that saves, but the faith that saves is not alone. It will produce something. It will produce something. If we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then we must also continue to be his disciples. Continue with him. Follow with him. Walk with him. After a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, we must continue in his word. You know what the proof is of our faith? The proof of our faith is if we're willing to continue. Are we going to continue to walk the path with Jesus? Are we going to continue to deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow him? Are we going to continue in his word? Continue to walk with him? Oh, I pray that we would continue. Have you believed on Jesus Christ as your Savior? First off, if you've never done that, that's the first step. You must believe. Believe in Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, who died on the cross and was buried and rose again to pay the penalty for your sins and mine so that you can be saved and go to heaven. Believe on him. But if you believed on him, let's also continue. Let's continue. Let's continue in his word. Keep your Bibles open. I want you to just look at a couple of verses with me. And I want to bring this home to something practical in our lives, to ask us, ask me, ask yourself, am I continuing? Am I continuing as his disciple? Am I continuing in his word? Am I allowing Christ to do the work in me that he wants to do? Am I continuing? Have you believed? Only you can answer that question. Only you and God know your heart. Have you believed? And if you've believed, are you continuing in his word? If you're continuing, notice what it said, verse 31, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. What are some things to maybe test that you're continuing in his word? Here's a few things. Is God's word sanctifying you? If you're continuing in God's word, is God's word sanctifying you? In John chapter 17, and verse number 17, it says this, John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Is God's word sanctifying you? Is God's word cleansing you? John chapter 15 and verse number 3 says, now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you? Are you allowing God's word to sanctify you, to cleanse you, to put you, set your life apart for God? Are you allowing God's word to cleanse you and change you allow those things to be washed out of your life, cleansed out of your life, taken out of your life that don't belong there? Are you seeking to live a clean life and a pure life and a holy life? Listen, is God's word cleansing you or sanctifying you? Is God's word changing you? Listen, if we are going to believe, that's great, that's awesome. But don't just believe, let's continue in His word. If we're continuing in His word, then that means His word has got to be changing us. His word needs to be cleansing us. His word needs to be affecting us, sanctifying us. I ask you this as well, is God's word abiding in you? Is God's word abiding in you? In John 15, verse 7 and 8, it says this, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Is God's word abiding in you? If God's word is abiding in us, you know what it will produce? Spiritual fruit. It'll produce spiritual fruit. We need to allow God's word to abide in us, to remain in us. Do we spend time in God's word? Do we allow God's word to change our hearts and change our minds? To affect us? God's word abiding in us will bring forth fruit. It'll bring forth evidence that God's word is remaining in us and changing us, sanctifying us. Is God's word abiding in you? I ask you this, are you obeying or keeping God's word? Are you obeying or keeping God's word? Look at John chapter 17 and verse 6. John 17 and verse 6 says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. They are thine are mine. And thou gavest them me, and they have what? They have kept thy word. They have kept thy word. Back in John chapter 14, John chapter 14 and verse number 23, it says this. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. We'll dwell with him. John chapter 14, look at verses 15 and 16. John 14, verses 15 and 16. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Disciples of Christ, what are we to do? We're to keep God's word. We're to keep God's word. We're to obey God's word. We're to allow God's word to sanctify us, to cleanse our minds, to change our hearts, to change our lives. Oh, it's not always easy to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, but I encourage you and I challenge you, if you believed on Christ, let's determine to continue. Let's let God's word affect us and change us and make our lives into what pleases Christ. Don't worry about what anybody else has to think or what the world has to say. Be a disciple of Christ. Continue in His word. In John chapter 8 and verse 31, Jesus said this, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Look back there at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And I want you to read with me again verses 30 and 31. Let's read it together. John 8, 30 and 31. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. We must believe and continue. Believe and continue. If you've never believed, oh, we want you to believe on Christ. Don't go away without Christ. Don't just reject Christ. Though a lot of people in the world reject Christ, but oh, I encourage you to believe on Him because you need Him in your life as your personal Savior. And if you've believed on Him, then let's continue in His Word. Continue in His Word. Continuing in His Word means, you know what? I need to spend time in His Word. I need to read His Word. I need to begin obeying God's word. I need to let it affect my heart and my mind and my thinking. I need to let it cleanse me from maybe things that don't belong in my life. I want God to take those things away. I want my life to be changed. I'd rather fill my life with good things and God-honoring things. If we're going to be His disciples, let's not just believe, but let's also seek to continue in His word. continue in His Word. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I ask You, Lord, to help us. For so many people, we would admit that it's not always easy being a disciple of Jesus Christ. We have to do battle every day with our old sinful flesh nature. We are sometimes maybe want to be led by our flesh instead of led by the Spirit. But Lord, we can have victory in our lives. We can continue as Your disciples. We can continue in Your Word. Help me, help my family, help every Christian, every person in this room that has believed, to also seek to continue in Your Word, to continue as Your disciple. Help us to read and study Your Word. Help us to hide it in our heart. Help us to seek to live by it and abide by it, obey it in our lives, that we can be faithful disciples. Lord, help us to believe, but also help us to continue. Help us to continue. I believe in each one of you. I pray that God would help you. I believe in the work that God is doing in your life. And I want to see God bring much fruit in your life. Lord, help us. Help us, please. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God began a good work in your life. God began a good work in your life the day when He saved you. But you know what? That work isn't finished. And I am confident, just like Paul was able to say, I'm confident when he wrote to those Philippians. You know what? I'm confident that the work that He began in your life, Miss Lillian, and the life that He began in your life, Samuel and Helen, the life that He began in your life, Beth, the life that He began in your life when He saved you, He's still working. And He still has a work that He wants to complete in your life, something He wants to finish in your life, something He wants to bring to completion. And we might sometimes look at that and think, boy, my life sure isn't beautiful right now. It may not be all that beautiful right now, but listen, Christ and God the Father are working in our lives to make something beautiful in our lives. And that work won't be perfected and finished until the day we get to heaven. But listen, He wants Christ to be formed in our lives. And more of Christ will be seen in our lives as we continue in His Word. Realize it's not just your work, it's also something, a work that He's trying to do in you and in me. And He's going to finish it. He's going to complete it.